Wanted to speak about a number of halachas regarding bedikas chametz habalein otoven about 2.5 weeks from now. So number one, when we light a candle, okay, so I think by now most people have shifted from candles only to candles plus flashlight, which is probably the proper way to do it because you're not going to check nearly as well with a candle as you would with a flashlight. So even if you want to continue the minhag as we've been doing for a couple of thousand years of doing it with a candle, but at least once you start with a candle, you should probably shift over to a flashlight after you start with your candle. But I saw something fascinating in Shmuel Kamenetsky's Sefer, which I'll probably be using for the next 2 weeks. And he quotes some other svarim, one of which I looked up and another which I wasn't able to find, that I always used, whatever, candle, flashlight, but I turned off the lights because the whole point is, you know, shraga batira maya honey. What's the point of a candle in a bright room in a daytime? So you make the room dark and then you look with your candle. That's what the Gemara says is the way you could see things better. And he quotes from Shmuel Kamenetsky, and I saw he quotes also from Shlomo Zalman Halicha Shlomo, which I did find that if the lights are on, you don't have to close the lights. Meaning, if the lights are off, you shouldn't turn the lights on to look. But if the lights are on, there's no need or it's not any better to close the lights to look. So I don't really understand that because I thought the Gemara was mashma that there's some advantage of seeing something with a direct beam. You look much more carefully with a direct beam, which I hear in a certain sense. Certainly during the daytime, you're not supposed to check. You're supposed to check at night because you have the advantage of being able to see things with not the light of the sun, but the light of a candle, and I mean, candles don't give nearly as much light as sun does. Nevertheless, we still prefer candles. We still prefer to do it at night to the Or HaNer as opposed to the day, the Or HaChama. Nevertheless, he quotes, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky says, you should leave the lights on. Rav Shlomo Zalman, I saw the Sefer Halicha Shlomo, also records that Rav Shlomo Zalman held that you should keep lights on. He quotes the same thing from Sefer Arzei HaLevanon in the name of Yaakov Kamenetsky and Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Stipler, they all left the lights on. So I wanted to look up, that's pretty interesting, that all of these three, the latter three, were in a Sefer called Arzei HaLevanon. So I went on to my Otzer HaChachma computer program to search this first Sefer Arzei HaLevanon, and I found four or five of them. I checked all of them, and they didn't appear in any of those versions of the various Arzei HaLevanons that have been printed in the past few hundred years. But there were about a dozen or two dozen Arzei Livanon without a hay. And I wasn't going to go through another 20 Svarim. So he quotes from some Sefer, which I didn't find that these, it's a contemporary Sefer, obviously, quoting that that's what Rav Moshe did. So if anybody, we could ask our neighbor, Mr. Tendler, what his grandfather did about leaving the lights on for Bedikas Chametz. But I never did, but it seems that a number of Gedolim did leave the light on for Bedikas Chametz. So that's something that I guess we should follow up on. Another point that is always exciting is the 10 little crumbs or 10 little chunks of challah that people put out for the Bedikas Chametz. So the Rama says it's the proper thing to do. Noagim lahaniach ptitei chametz, psisei chametz, so that you could find them. Kedei, says the Rama, shelo yehei brachas levatala. Right? If you're going to make a bracha and not find anything, so it's going to be a bracha levatala, right? Not so simple. Exactly. That's exactly what the Taz says. The Taz says, no, we're not worried about a bracha levatala. The bracha is not on the finding of the specific. Even if you don't, you're doing a ma'isa bedika, remember, what's the bracha that you make before bedikas chametz? Al? Wrong. I was waiting for you to say that. I was hoping you'd say that. Al bir chametz. You're not making a bracha on the bedikas. You're making a bracha on the beer, which is going to be tomorrow morning. The reason why I say the bracha now is because this is the beginning of the beer. So beginning of, in order to burn, you have to look for stuff to burn. Whether you find something or don't find something, that's irrelative to whether or not the bracha is, you're yotzi the bracha. So there are a number of proofs to this point that the bracha is really on the search and find, whether you actually find or not find. That's a good point. I guess it's on the making sure that that whatever you do, you do. Whatever you have to do to take care of there not being any chametz, you're gonna remember. Bir chametz is really a fulfillment of the mitzvah of tashbisu, and the takana derabanan of bedikas chametz is an assistance to be able to be in fulfillment of the assay of Tashbisa the next day, I assume. And they set it up like this, that we should do a bedika to find what we find. If we don't find, but I'll bring you a proof. The Gra brings the following proof that you don't need to find anything in order to say a bracha. What happens? Anyone ever go to a hotel on Chol HaMoed? Let's say you go to a hotel, you're off this week, there's 4 days, right? You could go away for 2, 3, 4 days. So Chol HaMoed, you're going to go for a one-day trip somewhere, I don't know, you'll go to Washington, D.C. with the kids. You go to, wherever you are, so you're going to go for 1 day. Hershey Park, and you'll stay over near Hershey Park for 1 day. So when you get to that hotel room, you're going to do a bedikas chametz with a bracha, right? What?
It's not open.
Thank you. Thank you. My vart tonight is ruined. Okay, so Hershey Park's room. I'm just going to sit down now.
Sorry.
So when you do a bedikas chametz, if you go somewhere just for a day, you're still going to be able to recite a bracha, assuming it's a makash machnis chametz. You could still make a bracha. Are you going to bring 10 little pieces of challah with you to look when you make that bracha on the bedikah that's done on Pesach? The case that the Shulchan Aruch speaks about is not Hershey Park because it's closed, nor is it Washington, D.C., which as far as I know might still be open. But the Shulchan Aruch talks about a case where a person didn't have a chance or forgot to do bedikah's chametz, and they remembered on Chol HaMoed, so the halach is, or on Yontif. So of course you do a bedikah with a bracha on Chol HaMoed, on Yontif, and there, the Gra points out, you're not taking 10 little challah pieces so that you could biyotzei the bracha. So you see that you're allowed to say do the bedika with the bracha, even absent any little piece of challah. And the same would be true when we do the regular zman, the bedikas chametz b'zman. I'll just finish off with one very fascinating point. When you go to sleep at night, you say hamapil, right? Do you know if you're going to fall asleep? No?
Yeah.
Okay. You know. Let's say you would make a bracha on sleeping in a sukkah. Let's say. It's a question. Do you make a bracha before you go to sleep? Because you're about to go to sleep in the sukkah? Maybe you're not going to fall asleep. Yet we see that the bracha is niskan, is established on the fact that you're planning to go to sleep. You're intending to go to sleep. You're hoping to go to sleep. So similarly here, even if you don't necessarily find any piece of chametz, the point is that you're planning to, or you're hoping to, or that's the goal, to search for chametz. So it would be a somewhat parallel to the same way that you would make a bracha before you, of hamapa, before you go to sleep, even though you don't know definitely you will fall asleep. And so to a sukkah, similarly, you'd make the bracha, even though you don't necessarily know that you're going to find chametz.